This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. So all of a sudden, and it's quite interesting because we had this massive, massive intensity of news, and then it's Israeli news just seems to have fallen over a cliff. Now no one can be bothered, and everybody's getting ready either for Shabbat or Pesach. Am I right?
I hope so. I think we're absolutely all exhausted from this weekend. And to be fair, the situation with former President Trump being indicted is dominating the headlines here in Israel. To be quite honest, as a journalist who's worked probably back to back this whole week, I'm grateful for a little bit of downtime this weekend.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. So it became incredibly, incredibly intense. What we saw playing out from, I would say, Sunday evening, from during the day on Monday was actually very, very scary, wasn't it?
It was scary and quite extraordinary. Now, I used that word earlier this week because we've never seen events happen as they have. We've covered rocket attacks, upswings in terror, but we haven't seen what we're seeing now. And it really is quite unprecedented, the speed in which everything happened and then how everything shut down. And boy, oh boy, has it ever been a very, very difficult couple of months to be a journalist. And I want to just touch on a message that you received last week, a message quite aggressive, saying that I push my personal agenda and I should really be focusing on the news. And I want to be very, very clear. The role of media in a functioning democracy is to shine a light on those dark corners and to scrutinize public institutions. And I know some of you out there may not like any particular criticism of any side, but that is our job. If we are sensing that the people from across the board are unhappy with something and are protesting something, that is our job. Our job is to report it and report what we are seeing on the ground. Granted, there are those news outlets that have agendas to push, but for the most part, and especially in Israel, where we do have one of the most free and open presses, this is our job. So, you know, please understand that, because it's been a very, very difficult couple of months for journalists. I've had colleagues even personally attacked going out to cover events, so wherever they may occur.
So can we just talk about that? And I think part of the reason, maybe, you know, when you talk about covering terror attacks, covering rocket attacks, as painful and as difficult as they might be, at least there's the sense of unity, a sense that we're all in this together, a sense of clarity between good and evil, right and wrong. The lines are quite well defined. On reporting this story over the last couple of months, those lines haven't been clear. And in fact, the very people who would be supporting you and say, go, Rolene, you talk truth to power, actually are now saying, oh, I don't agree with your view and you're agenda driven and all you are is a, I don't know, whatever it would be. But that's, I would suggest, and I'd love your reaction to that, I would think that is what makes it difficult. That as difficult as a terror attack is, at least the lines are clear.
That's exactly it. You know, I was astounded earlier this week to hear somebody, not an Israeli, refer to protesters as domestic terrorists. You know, that really cut right to the core, you know, whether you agree or don't agree, to call Israelis domestic terrorists, understanding that, you know, terrorism is something that we face on a near daily basis here, just really cuts to the core, and it shows you just how divisive this issue is. But you know, Israel is still a democracy, and we still have this incredible freedom of the press, and we're seeing pushback now.
Can I just stop you and ask you about that? Because somebody that I spoke to, a friend of mine, on his way back from the anti-protest protest in Jerusalem. So he is fairly right wing. He is supportive of Netanyahu, but not every aspect of it, to be fair. And he went to show his support for the anti-protest protest. And he said to me, and I don't know if this is true or not. He said to me, the numbers that the press in Israel are reporting shows press bias. In other words, when there is an anti-judicial reform protest, they'll talk about hundreds of thousands, whereas maybe it was tens of thousands. But when there's a right-wing protest, they'll talk about tens of thousands, if it could be hundreds. So he was quite skeptical. And again, it's coming from somebody who believes very strongly in on one side of it, not the other. But as a person covering this, Rolin, if you zoom out, is the press giving both sides a fair representation?
Well, I think there are certain publications, and I'm going to refrain from mentioning which ones they are, that are biased on either side. But, you know, in terms of the numbers, you can't deny the numbers that have been coming out against the overhaul, and especially on Sunday night when Netanyahu very controversially fired Yoav Gallant. This was all over the country. You know, it's not just
and that was a spontaneous bursting
that was spontaneous, and the protests over the last couple of months have been all over the country. And when you zoom out on the numbers, just for Tel Aviv, you can see there the protests, the pro-reform protests might have had the tens of thousands, but they haven't had the hundreds of thousands. And you know, it is an accurate representation. You know, last night police were reporting about 30,000 protesters in Tel Aviv that were pro-reform. So, and to me, that's still a substantial number. I don't think that's a number to be sneezed at, but we also have to look not just at the number of crowds coming out, but also the opinion polls, and I know we can't always believe polls, that are being conducted. And when well over 50% of the country don't support the overhauls, at least in their current draft, that's an important distinction. There are some who are undecided or don't care either way, believe it or not. And of course, you've got your pro-reforms. It is weighted on one side, because that is a reflection of the Israeli people, which is what we have been reporting. Also, we have seen people who have been very, very much in the center-right camp towards Likud this week coming out saying, we have concerns about Netanyahu and the way that he is making decisions and the path that he's taken down. Sunday night's speech that he made to Israel did not go down all that well, except for staunch supporters. A lot of people, and I'm including traditional Likud supporters, found it to be divisive, and even a few people used the word inflammatory, because it was such an opportunity for the Prime Minister to stay away from the politics of blame and focus on unifying this very fractured country.
So let's just talk about where that is, because my sense of Monday, I actually felt in a way quite sorry for Netanyahu, because there was this desperation that you could see with him running around trying to just keep this together. You've got somebody like Ben Gvir, who was very, very clearly the most difficult guy that he had to deal with and therefore extracted the most out of him. But this desperation not to let this coalition government fall was very tangible. Is Netanyahu a brilliant strategist, or is he just desperate, or has he lost it completely?
Well,
or all of the above, maybe, perhaps.
I think it's a bit of all of the above. You know, if you listen to his speech and you unpack his speech, he was very careful in the wording he used. He used the metaphor of King Solomon, dividing the baby, using biblical references. Of course, is going to appeal to a certain element of the population. Routinely blaming the media, that is that's right out of the Trump playbook. And also using those words anarchists and extremists, very, very, very dangerous, because effectively you're calling our pilots anarchists, you're calling bereaved families anarchists, you're calling Holocaust survivors anarchists, you're calling your fellow citizens anarchists, and that is very, very dangerous. To his credit, he did try and end off with unifying speech, but he had already lost it. So the general consensus here, and it's been fascinating to see the op-eds across the board, and not just coming from journalists, coming from think tanks, and coming from really, really credible people like Professor Gil Troy. The sense right now is that if we had an election tomorrow, Bibi and the coalition have gone. They might manage to cobble together 53 seats. The opposition, Lapid, slightly down. Many people find him to be stubborn. You know, his unwillingness to come to the table without preconditions has
damaged
not done him.
Him
any favors.
And it should have damaged him. Unacceptable, because that makes you think that it is more political than it is in the interest of the country.
Exactly. And I'll tell you who the true winner this week has been. It's Benny Gantz.
That's
Benny Gantz, who many people thought is politically naive. He was played like a fiddle by Netanyahu, who is a master strategist during the COVID pandemic. Benny Gantz has emerged from this as a unifying figure, as an extremely rational figure. It was fascinating for me to see United Torah Judaism trying to get him to come into the coalition. I don't think he will sit with Bibi in a coalition. He's learned his lesson. But he's displayed the kind of statesman-like qualities that Israel sorely needs, and Israel actually wants at this moment. So he's been the real winner. You know, he's predicted from winning 12 seats in the last election to winning a possible 22 to 25 seats in an upcoming election, which is a huge improvement. So if he can carry on this momentum, he really is
a real challenger.
The one. He's a real contender. You know, I've seen people, traditional Likud supporters, endorsing him on social media, saying, you know, he's very measured, he's got that military background, he's got statesman-like qualities, he's very, very measured, you know, he's got this way of being able to talk to all sides. You know, as soon as Netanyahu announced the pause to the overhaul, Benny Gantz was the first out of the block to say, I applaud this. Right, now let's talk. And he has been the one who consistently over the weeks has been saying, we need broad-based consensus, let's sit down and talk.
So it's interesting, Moshe is asking a question. Howard, can you ask Rolene if she believes that the judiciary does overstep the mark as almost a leftist opposition party, the judiciary, which doesn't have the support of the numbers? I haven't heard Rolene say it, although you have said it. So it's interesting. Before you answer, Moshe, I'm actually not sure why Rolene needs to say it. If she's and Rolene, I mean, answer with the greatest of pleasure. I'd love your thoughts, but actually, Moshe, Rolene doesn't need to give that answer. As somebody covering it, as long as she's covering it fairly, no matter what her personal view is, actually doesn't matter, shouldn't matter that much. But now over to you, Rolene, your thoughts?
Well, my personal politics is completely irrelevant here. What I will say is I understand the, and you know how much I hate these pejoratives left and right, because I think the minute we go there, we've taken the critical thinking element out of everything. But I do think that there's place for reforms on the selection of judges, but there are clauses that are concerning within the entire drafted material.
And before I let you go, Gimple says, any response to the U.S. administration not allowing that NASA astronauts come to Israel? I haven't heard that. That's from Gimple. It says, by the way, you go, Rolene, you pocket rocket.
Well, pocket rocket has entirely different connotations.
Right, absolutely, Gimple. They're not that kind of a show.
That is very, very concerning. And we are concerned that we are seeing, I won't go as far as to say a crisis developing, but certainly worrying rhetoric coming from both some elements in our government with regards to the United States. The United States is our biggest ally, and also the encroaching on Israel's domestic issues by the United States. And barring a NASA scientist, I did see this from coming to speak as a keynote speaker, is extremely, extremely concerning.
Rolene Marks, that's where we leave it. It is 8:01, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. And of course, a Chag Kasher, a Pesach Kasher V'Sameach.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.